everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted lazy ultra runner who is currently running by many monuments in Gettysburg.
And I'm Mitch, and I don't know what that all entails.
Well, when this is airing, we're both gone technically. I think you're here, but I'm gone.
I will.
Schedules are a mess.
Yeah, I'm home. I have to be home because wife and girls are gone.
Ah.
And I get
puppy duties. And I am in Gettysburg for this day that this is released. I was thinking Saturday for some reason, but no, it'll be Sunday. We'll be jumping on the road to head home.
What are you going to Gettysburg for?
Just for Gettysburg to, because that's where the national park. Well, it's not.
Just vacation? Just you and Nicole? Kind of?
No, me and some guys.
Oh.
Me and some buddies.
Oh.
Okay. A bunch of. We did this 2-3 years ago, something
golfing?
Like that.
Golfing?
Not a golfing thing. No,
whoa.
Chris, a guy from church, a buddy of mine from church, he and a buddy of his, Denny, several years have taken boys from different camps, like Boy Scouts or this or that. And they'll take them out to Gettysburg and walk around all the monuments and all the different things out there, but then also educate them on the monuments and what took place at Gettysburg. But also what they do, what I find really interesting, is they'll tie it in biblically to different verses from the Bible and things like that. So Denny is not going this year, but Chris is going to lead it. And I know the group that went out there with us a couple of years ago, man, it was amazing. If you've never been to Gettysburg, I would highly recommend going. It's one of the few places where they, drawing a blank on the name of the guy, he's one of the generals from the battle there. Oh, it's like right there on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, he
did some stuff.
Well, what he did was, as soon as the Civil War was over, and the Civil War might not even have been officially over yet, Gettysburg was done. I think Civil War was over. But anyway, he petitioned to have Gettysburg a national landmark or historical site or something like that where it would not be disturbed. So like when you go there, it is largely undisturbed from when the battle happened at Gettysburg.
Huh.
They can't build on it. They can't do anything. So like a lot of this stuff is preserved and looks like it did in the 1800s during the battles. So it's really neat. And I don't know nearly enough like I should, or not that I don't know enough.
Well,
I wish I knew more.
Well, it sounds like you could lead this tour. That's what I hear.
No, not even close. Denny and Chris know.
A running tour.
I could
because you can't talk anyway. It's like, yeah, some stuff happened there.
Yeah. You can go up to the monuments. You can read them. You get all of it you need to know.
That's a mess. We're not going to hang around.
Yeah. But I did do 2 years ago when we went out there, I did a long run, longish. It was 14 miles around. Basically, it encompasses Gettysburg. It's kind of neat because you can run by a ton of the monuments, ton of the very popular spaces or places spaces. And then you go up and around this, I don't remember what they call it, Overlook Tower or something like that, but it's a burning flame. I think it was it's not where he gave the Gettysburg Address. It's something else. It might have been something. Oh, it was like many years later, like Franklin Delano or one of the
presidents.
Roosevelts went out there and did an address at the end, like when there were several still several people alive from the war.
Oh, okay.
Came together and they camped. I might be getting this way wrong, but a president, I think it was one of the Roosevelts, went out there, which should be Franklin.
Well, it could be Teddy.
Theodore.
I would
which
think
one was older?
Teddy was first.
Okay, so it'd probably be him. So yeah, you can see I know my history really
well.
But that's why I say you should.
It might not even have been him. You should be able to do this tour.
But a president went out there and did this big thing, and this monument was erected. I'm pretty sure it was a Roosevelt. But this flame is a continuously burning flame, and I don't remember what it represents.
You know, if you sell it with more confidence, people will believe you.
Probably.
That's what's going on in the world today. You just got to sound.
True.
You got to sound confident, and then.
Yes.
So we got to work on your delivery.
That's
even,
true.
Even if it's BS, we got to work
that's
on your.
That's true. Yeah. Really need to get better at that.
Just say it with confidence.
Yeah. So for the rest of this podcast, well, no, I can't say that. I don't want to do that because there would be a lot of misinformation here if I did that. But in this podcast, we do want to talk about specifically some individuals in running.
Right.
In the running arena. Well, both of these are professional runners.
Really the ultra arena.
Yeah, ultra. Yeah, definitely the ultra arena of running. And the one we're probably going to spend the most time on it because it's the most recent is the Barclay Marathon. Happened 3 weeks ago-ish.
And if you're into ultra running, and people always say that to you, well, when are you going to run Barclays? Never.
Yeah.
The answer is never.
Yeah. Yeah. For those that don't know, and we're going to discuss some of those stats right now, actually, let's just go over what Barclay Marathon is. For those that don't know, Barclay Marathon was born out of Gary Cantrell, also known as Lazarus Lake, as his quote-unquote...
Alter ego.
And basically what happened was James Earl Ray, who was the assassin who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr., was imprisoned at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary, and he escaped. He escaped the prison. And in 2 days, he traveled a grand total of 8 to 12 miles. I've seen both distances, 8 and 12 miles. And basically, Gary Cantrell or Lazarus Lake, he scoffed at it basically and said, I bet I could make it 100 miles in that same amount of time. And basically, that's where this idea came from. And so let me find the year, in 77. And then in 86, no, I take that back. In 88, I believe it was the first official, I made some notes here. Nope. First official running was in 86. Maybe Wikipedia's off. In 88 was the first finisher of what is now considered the fun run. So if you go back to the very beginning of Barclay, it was a 55 and a half-ish, 50 to 55 mile run in Frozen Head State Park in North Carolina. Tennessee. Frozen Head State Park in Tennessee. And the first finisher was in 88. So that's where the 88 comes from. And then a few years later, they changed it to the official like length that it is now, which is, it's funny because it's stated to be 100.
It's not 100.
But it's more like 130-ish, yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood. It changes year to year because Laz changes the course essentially year to year. It gets adjusted, tweaked, changed. Mm-hmm.
He's a little sadistic.
Yeah. Don't want to make it easy. To give you an idea of this race and just how quote unquote easy it is and how easy it is not. Since 86, there have been, up until last year anyway, 17 finishers. 17 finishers in that entire time since 86. So, and then this last year, which is why we kind of want to talk about it, a couple of things happened. Number one, prior to this year, I think the most I had finished was 3. And I think that had not happened much. I think that was a more recent time.
Yeah.
And I think it happened once or twice. So, and then this year, 5 people finished the race, which was a first, obviously. Unprecedented. And I want to say, I don't have that stat in front of me here. It's kind of a bummer. I read it somewhere. But up until 2 years ago, a woman had only completed
the fun run.
The fun run, I don't even know if it had been completed.
And what is what do they call a fun run?
The fun run is 3 laps.
And then they
completing 3 laps.
And it's going out for the 4th is finishing, right?
That's, no, 5. It's 5 laps.
Oh, okay.
So a fun run is 3 laps. There's nothing special about 4 other than getting the opportunity to go out for your 5th. So yeah, because 60 miles. Because yeah, that basically the fun run is the same as the original, roughly the original distance. So 3 laps is a fun run. Up until a few years ago, I want to say like 1 female had completed their fun run. And that was going back to like the early 90s or something like that. Somewhere in the 90s. And then 3 years ago, Jasmine Paris completed the fun run 3 years ago. And then last year, she had knee issues, which limited her training to come back and limited, obviously, her ability to run the race last year. And again, I'm missing some details on what I read up on earlier. But I think she completed the fun run again, even though she had knee issues. And I think she started the 4th loop. Could be wrong on that. This is the confidence
part. Say it with confidence.
I guess where I'm at is I want to be very open up front on the fact that I don't know this. I did read on it, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, this year, she finished the race.
With like 90 seconds to spare.
If that. I mean, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think you're right. Like right around 1.5 minutes.
Because if you see footage, it's kind of cool to watch her come in and she's booking it. But it says that she went out too fast to start.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I think she's... stayed with Campbell and Kelly. I think they both ran it this year and finished. Let me go to some notes that I have here. Those are the wrong notes.
Your shopping
Kelly
list?
Kelly and Campbell, yeah, both finished this year. And both of them are multiple-time finishers. Campbell, I think, is a first 4-time.
Oh, wow.
It's the first time anybody's completed it 4 times. Kelly has done it 3 times, John Kelly. And obviously, Jasmine Paris is the first ever female finisher of the Barkley Marathons. Yeah. And that was a huge thing this year. Tons of people talking about it.
Oh, yeah. And if you watch the footage, her coming in too. And I don't think he even reacts. Like he just kind of stands there. And they said, I thought I had read something that they said he was kind of tearing up a little bit. Like he was actually impressed. But yeah. He's got to be impressed with anybody that does it.
Yeah. And I think he's one of those that, man, he puts on a persona of not caring. But that dude probably cares a ton. About everybody that runs that race. And you can see, I think you can catch it. It's definitely a persona, but that dude's, man, he's got a heart probably bigger than anybody. So it is kind of neat. But he, so yeah, a couple other things about this race is it's a 60-hour cutoff. Like, and as we saw a few years ago with Gary Robbins, who came in and I want to say he missed it. I mean, it was like seconds. It feels like.
Well, they had
like.
Somebody come in from the wrong direction.
Well, and it turned out that was him.
Yeah.
He ended up coming in the wrong way. But I don't remember exactly how that played out. But even still, like he got there late and Laz was like, yeah, you don't complete it. Like that's tough luck. So, and that's just, and the other thing that, man, this is super, this is just, it makes you appreciate what these people are doing. The elevation is about 60,000 feet for this race. That is equivalent to climbing Mount Everest twice. Not once, but twice.
Mm.
So not an easy race. It's approximately a 20-mile loop. But again, as we've said earlier, it's more like a 20 to 25-mile loop, which puts it in the more like, yeah, you're going to be somewhere between 100 and 130 miles. Not, and I would err closer to the 130.
Is there even bush rat whacking in that race a little bit?
Yeah.
Like there's not a defined.
No.
You get a map and you get basically a compass. That's it.
Yeah. You get a map. I don't know if he gives you a compass or if you got to bring your own. I'm pretty sure you got to bring your own. And I think you do get a watch. The watch is like a Timex, like,
yeah,
watch.
You can't wear a GPS.
No GPS. Like, if it's found, I did read somewhere, if it's found out that you ran the race and recorded it, you'll never see that race again. Like, you will not come back to it. Speaking of which, getting into the race it's like top secret.
Yeah.
There is no website. You don't just go and find the application. It is a process, several steps long, I believe.
He does a few other races, and I heard one of them is, I can't remember the 50K that he does.
The Barclay Fall Classic.
Yeah, and that's one of the criteria I've heard.
I've heard the same thing. I just don't know that it's written anywhere.
Right.
But we do know a couple of people that have ran that, and I got the feeling that if you run that, that's one of the steps,
yep,
to get into the race.
I'm not interested in getting in the race, so let's just be clear.
I would like to go do the Fall Classic. I think it would be a nice taste. And it's interesting because even that one, the Fall Classic, has a decision-making point. You can do, I believe it's a marathon, or you can have more fun, or however they put it, and do the 50K, which would take you, I don't remember where it is, but it gives you some additional parts of the course. I don't want to say it's the prison part, but I'm not 100% certain on that. More confidence inspired information that I'm giving there. So, the race, what else about, the other thing about the race is, and I've read this, I thought it was you went one direction. So let's say clockwise for a lap, and then counterclockwise, and then clockwise.
I thought that too.
And then counterclockwise. And then at that point, it's every other person that comes in.
Oh.
So let's say you have five people in the lead. They're all together, right? But whoever comes in first can choose, I want to go clockwise. So from that point on, everybody else is opposite. So then the next person goes counter, and then the next person goes clockwise. But I just read somewhere where it said it's two laps clockwise, two laps counter, or, you know, vice versa, whatever. 2-2, and then the opposite. I do know that last lap is opposite.
Oh, okay.
Like, if there are three people, that you can't just go, yep, we're all going out together again. Nope, you're going to get split up. So, which sucks if there's three, because two still get to go out together and one person gets screwed by themselves. And then the trail part, it is, I don't know what the percentage is, but a large portion of it is not on trail. It's you're blazing your own trail through the woods. You got to know how to navigate. You have to know how to follow compass. You have to follow, azimuth readings and things like that. You plot your own course, essentially. And the part that makes that so important is there are I can't think how many books it is. It might be like 10 or 12 books, 10, 12, 13 books. Yeah. Your bib number is the page number that you have to rip out of the book and bring back to you, with you, to Lazarus, which every single lap he checks. Do you have the required number of pages? Did you hit every single spot? And so you have to be able to navigate yourself to the location of the book. And he doesn't have this like bright orange signal saying, here's the book. No, like it could be tucked in like a tree stump. I've heard of like that level of, you got to know how to get to where you're supposed to be going. And so, yeah, you got to do that, whatever, 10 to 13 times. I don't know however many times it is. And you got to grab your page, bring them all back. Matter of fact, last year, this was a talk about heart, or just gut-wrenching, heartbreaking feeling. The second place guy, so we talked about the final loop. You have to go counter whatever the other person does, right? So in 2023, I can't think of the night. Oh, yeah, yeah. So this guy did he was a return and he did a video. It's pretty cool. I could be getting the guy wrong. But anyway, Arlen Sanchez was first. And so he would have went, whatever, clockwise, let's say. John Kelly, who's done it several times, he went counterclockwise. And then the third place guy, Carol, whatever, Sabe, whatever. So he would have followed the first place guy and went out, right? Well, a hiker in the course of after first place went through, picked the book up and like took it back, like not knowing. And the third place guy, he got to that location. He knows the location. He's done it four other times. The book's not there. And so he gets back, and it's just a really special moment. Because the guy's like, I'm screwed. I made it. And it was one of the last books. So he knew where he was. He knew he had the time. He knew, like, I've done this. I've completed this. He gets to the gate. And every time you get to the gate, the yellow gate, you have to touch it going out and you have to touch it coming back. And he touches the gate. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. The last book wasn't there. So I guess I don't get it. And you could see he's like, and Laz just takes he holds it up and he says, this book. And he's like, oh my goodness. Just, it was such a good feeling that he obviously allowed him that counts as a finish because somebody tampered with, you know, the course and whatnot. So, yeah. And you look at these times, you get 60 hours, you need 60 hours. There's not a time faster than in what I'm looking at here. The current record for the course is 52 hours. Most of them are 55 to 59 hours.
And you can't compare them because it's different every year.
Different every year. You can't compare it to any other course. I mean, it is, yeah. So it is a race all unto itself. But let's just look at Jasmine Paris just a little bit. Because it is pretty special, obviously, that she was the first female to do this. She is far from the first female to try this. There have been several females that have made it into the race and attempted it. But good for her. Her and the other individual we're going to talk about, both professional runners in their area of expertise. For her, this is something that I learned, is in fell running. Fell is a type of, let me see if I can find the, I probably won't, but it's kind of like it has a hill as a prominent part of the race. So fell running. Fell is something like, I can't remember British for, like, I don't want to say hilltop, but it's like kind of like hilltop. I don't know. So, but anyway, she is a elite in fell running. And over in Manchester. Oh, no, she's from the Great Britain area, or from Great Britain, born in the Manchester area. But basically, she's a professional in that area. And it's funny because I realized how we only know what we know. So I was looking up, like, she's a really good ultra runner in Great Britain. Hmm. And I'm looking up the races going, I don't know any of these races.
Right.
But I've never ran in Great Britain, so I wouldn't know those races. But she is obviously very good. Now, what makes her obviously good at being able to transition over to Barclay is obviously the hill portion, right? She's very good at hills, going up, going down, all of that. So, yeah, she's 40 years old, so she's not super young when it comes to like being an elite fast runner, right? Mm-hmm. And the next guy we're going to talk about, he's not super young. But yeah, congrats to her. I think it's incredible what she's done, being able to be the first one to ever do this. And man, she is all over like every running thing right now. If you Google Jasmine Paris, like she pops up and it's like she's got a Wikipedia. She might have had a Wikipedia before because she's a professional runner. But it's funny. It's kind of like if you make it to Wikipedia, you made it somewhere kind of a thing.
I'm going to create my own Wikipedia.
And it's funny. The first two things about her is they've added basically a sentence that says, in 2024, she was first woman to successfully complete the Barclay Marathons. Then you go to the next one. You kind of read about her. And then the last sentence is, in 2024, she became the first woman to successfully complete the Barclay Marathon. It's like they just kept putting it in wherever it made sense. But yeah, that anybody in the ultra world knows that Barclay Marathons is the, I don't know that there is a tougher race at that distance.
Right.
130-ish miles.
It's really its own field because you think about Western States, Hard Rock, UTMB, it's a different,
they're
their own thing. This is not the same thing.
Yeah. The thing about Barclay too is that compounds it is, it's not nice like during the running of the race. It's cold, rainy, mm-hmm. wet, mm-hmm. miserable. Seldom is it nice out, mm-hmm. you know. Like all the videos you see, they're bundled up for the most part. So it's that would compound things. I know for me, I hate that feeling running cold like that. And then to think of just trudging through it's just woods. Woods and, you know, just traipsing through the woods and cutting your own path. But yeah, that is the Barclay Marathon. And man, I would highly suggest go check out just Google search or YouTube search Barclay Marathon. And man, oh man, you'll be impressed.
And then watch the actual documentary on it.
Yeah. The actual documentary. And I would go and watch Gary Robbins has one that is, he basically does his experience with it, which is heartbreaking because he made it out on the fourth or the fifth loop and didn't make it. And that sucks. I mean, he completed the distance. I think he completed this because he is the one that came out the wrong way. And I'm trying to remember why he came out the wrong way.
We'll have to watch it.
Yeah. I don't remember I think they do say, but I'm not good with remembering those details, obviously. And then the next one we want to talk about, this is kind of cool. It's cool and it's got a good story. As often happens, I'm browsing YouTube and things like that for motivation and running and things like that. And obviously Barclay is one of those, but this one popped up on the radar and it's called How He Won the World's Toughest Race. He is Simon Halvik. He's from the Netherlands. It's on Goran, and I may be saying this wrong because it's from the Netherlands, but Winblad, Goran Winblad's video of Simon Halvik, who won Badwater 135 last year. And for those listening, might be going, well, who cares? You know, he's a Norwegian that won. Number one, he was the first Norwegian to ever win it. Being from Norway, does not set you up for the best training for bad water.
It's like living in Florida and then going running, like a mountain race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Being in the flattest place possible and training for the mountains. Yeah. Similar for this guy. And then on top of that, this guy did not start running until he was 38. So he's not a spring chicken winning Badwater 135. He was 46, I think, or something like that last year when he ran it. So yeah, because it was 8 years. He's been basically running for 8 years. Something that makes it even more interesting about him winning, what got him started with running. He was, I don't remember. You get that sense I say that a lot. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. But he was basically overweight. I'm probably not going to be able to find it. I should have made a note of that. But basically, he went in. His dad had a heart attack. He went in and saw his doctor. His doctor said, yep, you're basically in the same boat. If you don't get your life together and improve your health. And so he listened a little bit, I think, at that point and said, I need to get my act together, my life together. Started doing that. And then, I don't remember what he said. A few years ago, his wife came down with cancer and died. And it's like, wow, man, talk about one punch after another.
Right.
And like we talked about what happens with a lot of people that use running for different things, whether that's an addiction or a place to just bury yourself because of life, what happens in life. He did that. He used running and, to try to find some kind of, solace from what was happening in his life. So he did that. He goes out, I think it was like 2 years ago, decides, I don't care how old I am, I'm going to quit my job and I'm just going to become a professional runner. And he did it.
At 40 some years old.
At 40 something years old. And then he goes and he wins Badwater. So he went from nothing, couch potato, overweight, to winning Badwater in 8 years and a professional runner.
I'm not worried about, I don't want to be a professional runner. I just want to run as a hobby and not work.
Oh yeah. How do you do
Can
that?
Pay me somehow for not winning.
Boy, if you land that and sell that in a book,
I know
you've made it.
I know. That's my thought. Like, you know, if people just, covered my race entries and travel,
all set.
What else do I need? I need somebody to donate me a van.
One of those
Sprinter van. Yeah, camper van.
Converted already or no?
Yeah, converted already. I need a bourbon supplier.
What else? I'm
trying to think. Thinking, what do I got to eat? I need somebody, like a chain restaurant to.
Yeah, to hop on board.
Right.
Yeah, they should be able to afford one person eating.
Right.
I mean, Tammy can support the rest of your family, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It'll work.
You don't need much. You're not asking much.
No, I don't. I think it's fair.
Well, when this podcast makes it, maybe we'll have enough income to support Taco Bell. Tacos are stupid expensive now. Yeah, there's a stupid taco from Taco Bell instead of what used to be 39 cents.
If it just covered us to go to like a race a year, that would be cool.
Once a year?
Well, I'm starting small, but like I'm thinking Alaska, Hawaii.
Oh, like the big ones.
Yeah.
I was thinking
the big travel.
Six times a year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd be, but.
Yeah, if they could make it that would be worth all the work, right?
Us and our entourage to go to Hawaii.
And the entourage, all two of them. Are we each other's entourage?
We'll leave our wives at home. It'll be fine. Yeah. They won't care.
Yeah. They support from afar. That's fine. Right. That's what texting is for.
We'll send pictures.
Yeah. So it was like you were there. We FaceTimed. We were at mile 16 and we FaceTimed you.
Look it.
It was like you were standing on the side of the road. Cheering.
We had a picture. We carried like those little popsicle heads of them, like they're with us. And when I take pictures,
I thought you meant like a pitcher, a beer pitcher. Well, I was what? What are you carrying a pitcher for?
Well, I mean, get thirsty.
Well, not for beer, but yeah. But yeah, I think that was interesting. I would recommend looking that up. It's a pretty cool video. Pretty cool. It's a good story. Great story of this guy that turned his life around from some just things that happened in his life. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about several times in the podcast with vices and things like that, oftentimes it can turn, running can help people in those areas find freedom from addictions and things like that. So yeah, hats off to Seaman Holvik for winning Badwater 135 last year, and Jasmine Paris for winning Bark. Or not winning. Well, I guess it's winning.
I think winning finishing is winning.
Yeah, because of the number of times. I think it said too. I did see this. 55% of Barclay Marathon runnings have not had a finisher.
Yeah.
More than 50% of the time, nobody finishes that race. Right.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
Well, you know he's going to make it harder for next year.
Oh, yeah. Too many people finish this year. Good luck for the people coming back.
It's Susquash and out there. I'll be that guy.
You'll be that guy? Yeah. What is it? Bib number one he gives to the person. There is somebody. So he has a process of people that get into the race. Only 40 entrants get in every year. The person
that should not be there?
Gets bib number one. So that is not a bib.
So you show up and you get bib number one, you're like, oh, dang it.
I'm not even starting it.
Never mind.
Oh, it's $1.60. By the way, the registration is $1.60 for that race.
I think, you know what? I could be the guy standing by the book that they have to fight me for it.
What's it worth to you?
Yeah.
It's late in the race. Lap five. What's it worth to you?
Yeah.
I got, what's your bib number? Oh, that's weird. It's missing that page.
It's missing. But.
But.
We might be able to work something out.
What a jerk move. But go check them out. Go check out Barclay Marathon. Badwater is pretty well known. Barclay less known. But check out, just search those two names. Pretty cool stories. Obviously, Jasmine doesn't have nearly...
As much following here,
but obviously worth checking out. She has done it three times and then completed it this year. So you have seen her in a couple of the media stories because as much as he's tried to keep media away from that race, he has allowed some to come and check it out. And it's interesting, like this year he changed it. Like, just getting in portion and running portion and who's on the list has been super secretive every year. And then like the last few years, it's kind of been known like, oh yeah, it's this year. This is the year. And then this year in 2024, nobody even knew the weekend that it was running. Entrance, I think were
sworn to secrecy.
Well, I don't know how he did it, but like people didn't know until it was going. And normally, like when it gets close, I'm like, all right, who's there this year, blah, 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 things like that. And try and follow it a little bit. And you couldn't follow it. It was either during or after that you could finally go, oh, wow, it's already done. So, but yeah, go check out Barclay Marathon, Jasmine Paris, and go check out Badwater 135 and Seaman Holvik, pretty cool. The video that I happened to watch was Goran Winblad's video. And he's a runner of some sort and does a bunch of videos about running and ultramarathons and things like that. And who knows, maybe someday, one day, we'll be sharing our experience from Barclay Marathon. No, probably not.
I'd like to be there.
It would be fun to go there and check it out. It would be fun to go there once and check it out. Mm-hmm. that would be cool.
Pretty
cool.
I don't want, have any interest in trying any.
I don't really either because of the, I just don't like being cold and wet. And it seems like that race, you're going to be cold, freezing, and wet. Yeah. But without that, the navigation, trekking through,
there's no way I could navigate.
I say I have that background for the Marine Corps.
Yeah. You can try it.
But
I don't.
The Gnawbone is a part of the, what's the hallucination series?
Oh, yeah.
That's run.
It's Running Fit.
Running Fit. Gnawbone is a race that's in running, or Running Fit puts on. And I was surprised during that race, Brian and I went down and did that in 17. Yeah, 17, the year of, went to
Western States.
Western. And I was surprised we're running along and all of a sudden the flags go from like on the trail
to just the woods,
straight out through the woods. And it's, Gnawbone is known for being just like, it is rough. Like you just, all right, you're just going up this hill through the woods. It is not a trail. That's where the flags go though. So, and it was a fun race. That was a really fun race. That's actually a race where I bonked hard with my nutrition. Imagine that. I don't ever do that.
Weird. Weird.
I know.
Sounds like. Mm-hmm.
And second place we were both second place. We decided we're just going to run it in together. First place was so far out in front of us for that it was for the 50 miler. And I was happy because if he wanted to take off and leave me, he probably certainly could have in the last 10 miles. I was, maybe it was the last like 5 miles. But anyway, fun race. I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree. We got to get off and, you know.
Yeah, get on to doing what we're doing.
Right.
But yeah, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube. Feel free to email us at idontknowrunning@gmail.com. Leave comments and all of that. But that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Until then, happy running.